Welcome to Church Drunk, a spirited conversation about faith, reason, and libations. We are happy that you're joining us.
Woo-hoo!
One might say that we're rejoicing.
We are glad.
Yeah, we are glad that you are here. And before we go too far, you should know about us.
Heads up.
That we sometimes get a bit cursy. So if your kids are in the car, you know, earmuffs, make sure that you are having some private time.
Yeah, earphones?
Earphones. Yes. No, yeah. The earmuffs. Then you can say whatever you want. Just tell them to keep their hands over their ears the
whole
time.
Right, either the kids put on the earmuffs or you put on the headphones.
Yeah. You can put in headphones as well. The other thing is we tend to be slightly... not just sweary, but also like blasphemy. One might even say heretical.
We try not to be heretical, but today we are certainly not heretical.
We will be immersed in heresy today, but only
not our heresy.
Trying to keep on the good side of it.
Yes.
So this is Church Drunk.
Kind of a new leaf, really.
Yeah. I am Guess. Here is my co-host Diz.
Hey.
And the question always is, Dizzy, what are you drinking?
I am sipping a festive pink Gadate rose-colored cold-pressed juice with some vodka and some lemon ice cubes, because that's what we had.
Yeah.
And it's not bad.
It's like a smorgasbord of liquor cabinet meets juice cabinet.
Yeah.
Do you have a juice cabinet? I don't have it.
I should.
Yeah.
Like, what's your juice? Like, are you juiced? Well, like, you know, like, making juice was, like, really trendy for a minute.
Yeah.
And so I feel like there are a lot more, like, unprocessed or unmessed with juices available.
Yeah.
So that's what we're having, and it made it pink, so there was some beets in there.
Right, there's beets, there's carrots, there's all kinds of fun stuff. It's a vegetable juice.
Yeah.
But it's quite tasty.
And
with
it's
vodka.
Liturgical, because we're talking today about this exhortation of Francis, and it says Gaudete, which reminds us of, like, Gaudete Sundays.
Gaudete Sunday, where you wear the pink or
the
rose.
The rose.
Yes.
So you could, if you want to be liturgically drinking along with us, you could just put something pink and some alcohol
pour something
with it.
Pink.
Yeah.
You know, Mrs. Guess and I once entertained the notion of opening up a kosher establishment where one might be able to go get fruits and vegetables in liquid form, and calling it the Jews Bar.
Wow. I was like, there's a reason you wanted to do this. And there it is. There it is. Okay, well, that's one way. Yeah. I was just hoping you weren't going to talk about, like, the rose blood that falls from the ritually slaughtered animals.
No, that was not the direction things were going. But thanks for taking us there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Did we mention that we're Catholic and you don't have to be?
I don't think we even got that part. No, it's true, though. It's true.
I distracted you.
We are Catholic. You don't have to be. All walks of life are welcome here at Church Drunk. And we are. Today we're discussing the recent papal exhortation from Pope Francis.
Yes.
That is all about rejoicing and being glad.
Yeah. Fun fact, most papal or Vatican documents just are called whatever the first few words of whatever document it is in Latin. So this one has a lovely start.
Yes.
Rejoice and be glad.
Gaudete et
exultate.
Yes.
And he exhorts us. He strongly encourages us to take heed of what he says in this missive.
So an exhortation is a term that I've only really become familiar with during the papacy of Pope Francis, that there weren't a lot of exhortations, or maybe there were, but they didn't get a lot of highlights before, you know, like during Pope Benny was not a big exhorter.
He had some. He's more of a true scholar. He wants, like, a full encyclical with his name on it.
Right. So when the Pope decides that he wants to kind of send a message to the faithful, the most common forms of that, outside of, like, you know, the Sunday homilies and things like that the Pope gives, are either an encyclical, which tends to be like a much longer, more theologically dense sort of document.
And Francis has dropped a few of those.
Pope Francis gave us Laudato Si, the encyclical that is one of our favorites, especially when we talk about environment and things like that.
Amoris Laetitia, which
Amoris Laetitia.
Has stirred up
was
some
that
of our...
Was that an encyclical or was that an exhortation? I can't remember.
I think it was an encyclical, but
I don't know.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
In any event, encyclicals are kind of a thicker, denser document, and then the exhortation is basically like an open letter to the entire Catholic faithful. You don't necessarily have to be a theologian to read it and digest it and comprehend it. And I feel like Pope Francis has kind of blurred the line a little bit between those two. His exhortations are long, and there is certainly theology in them. And his encyclicals are relatively accessible. They're not excluding people that maybe are not super, super scholarly.
Yeah, I think part of the difference too is exhortations are meant to be like persuasive and kind of encouraging you to do a certain thing, whereas the encyclicals can be more just doctrinal, like teaching documents.
Yeah.
You can also get a papal bull, which is like a motu proprio. And the papal bull is like sealed with stuff on the rod of it, whatever. It's read off of like a scroll. Yeah. Like it's old timey.
If there's a papal bull being read, like something has gone wrong. I feel
you are in some kind of trouble.
Fan when the papal bull is being read.
Although if this isn't a moment when shit is hit the fan, right? I don't know what is.
And that's, I think Frankie is a hell of an exhorter. Like he really does a good job of kind of, like these are meant to rally the troops. Like, hey guys, here's what's going on in the church today. Here are all of the things that we have to be excited about. Mm-hmm. Here are some of the things that are going wrong. But here's like the overarching and underlying message, both tend to be like we have a reason to be joyful, right? Like he's big on joy. He's big on kind of celebrating the faith. He's big on mercy, like just kind of being genuine with each other. Like basically the table has been laid for us and all we have to do is eat.
Well, I think exactly that's his mode is like, let me encourage you to do what you should be doing in a nice way that shows you that like I understand all of this stuff that's happening in the world. And yet here's how you in your life are called to be holy or, you know, think about these things, act on these things.
And that call to holiness is kind of one of the initial comments that he has in this most recent exhortation, is that everybody is called to be holy, and it's not really as difficult as we make it out to be.
Right. So this universal call to holiness that I guess we would give John the 23rd credit for kind of kicking off with Vatican II.
Yeah.
And Francis really reiterates it here to us, and he's got, this is very personal. He like lists like all these little vignettes of like different people, like here's the mom or here's the janitor, here's the teacher.
He makes it very like tangible, very practical. And that's like super Ignatian of him, which we've come to expect from the first Jesuit Pope.
Here.
You know, like.
But not only, Jesuit. Too. It makes me think of Teresa of Lisieux or somebody else who's like little things for God.
He expands it out beyond just kind of the, you know, God in all things Jesuit mentality and says like, it's not just that. There's people have done it throughout history.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, it's the, like you said, like the mom who's driving her kids home from soccer practice.
Yeah.
And the everyday folks that you see on the street that are doing the things that God has asked them to do. And they're doing it with love.
Yeah, that's the heart of it.
Yeah, and there's a way to be holy that is not necessarily intimidating. You know, it doesn't have to be something that scares us, that changes who we are. We are made holy, and we are called to continue to be holy. And so when we talk about... God bless you, goodness.
Sorry, Disney became sneezy.
'Tis the season to be pollinated.
Yes.
We have this, like, call to being the person that God asked us to be from the very beginning.
Right.
Which is rooted in the message of Jesus, like, just go out and love one another.
Yeah.
You know?
He's got a great line, kind of, as he talks about this personal call to holiness. I like where he says, you know, we are the middle class of holiness.
Yeah, love that.
He wanted to point out that, like, you don't, like, well, he would like you to be a saint, but not in the way that you think. Like, this person who's held up so high.
Right.
And neither are you, like, just a baby beginner. Like, you are the middle class of holiness. You are on your way if you are just not being an asshole to your family, like, with an active intention. So that's very accessible for everybody, really. Yeah.
So he kind of starts out the exhortation with the reiteration of something that he has said over and over again, that we are all meant to be holy and that it does not take some sort of massive effort to be holy. We're made that way. And then he kind of goes on, though, to be like, and yet, sort of are sucking at it, you know? And that is, in a lot of ways, the great paradox of being a person of faith, that you are loved by God, you are made holy by God, and yet we continue to kind of fuck it up in various ways every single day of our lives.
Yeah.
So,
and he talks about some of the societal things that don't help us in our quest for holiness.
Yes.
And, like, he is definitely a man, a pope of the world and of modern society.
For sure.
And has embraced those things. So I feel like when he's writing about the difficulties we face in our modern age, he's probably speaking from the heart where he's experienced some of this challenge as well, because he's... active on social media, or his people are. He must be somewhat.
Yeah.
And he's out there with people and in the world, and that is not always a recipe for increasing your holiness. So he right. really specifically addresses, you know, technology and social media, and the rat race is even a phrase that is yes. used in yeah. this exhortation. He says, you know, sooner or later we have to get out of that and find some heartfelt dialogue with God. So this call to personal space or sacred space
yeah.
is something that also resonates because we are so busy
right.
and so distracted all the time.
He really, I think one of the great talents that he has that I think maybe certainly Benedict was lacking. And even
yeah.
JP2 to a certain extent, like he kind of built his reputation as like the global pope and definitely being like
he definitely a man trailblazed of the people. In some ways.
But at the same time, when I look back and I read some of the stuff that John Paul II was putting out there,
yeah.
he was a little bit tone deaf in saying like, "Hey, we have yeah. this message to like help people have an encounter with Christ," but then he would kind of be like, and here's the, like, one avenue where yes, that is possible.
The you know? Very specific way.
Exactly. Whereas Pope Francis really has his finger on the pulse of where people are at yeah. in the modern world. What are the temptations that are leading us astray? And what are the things that are, the door is just mm-hmm. wide open to anybody yeah. to have that, like, genuine encounter with something divine and someone divine, and that someone is like Jesus. Like, in my experience, right. that's Jesus. But, like, let's not be too closed-minded about this, you know?
Yeah, I definitely think this is one of the areas where you see his Ignatian spirituality really coming out. And this is something he gets criticized for on yeah. one end and loved for on the other, which right. is this, you know, expressly Jesuit idea of accompaniment.
Yeah.
So that means you have to acknowledge that people are not following that narrow, quote-unquote, ideal path, right? So, like, you're right, John Paul II, Benedict, they did have compassion for people, but they weren't ever going to acknowledge that there wasn't just this right way to go about it.
Right.
And so Francis is really saying he's not afraid to call out where people actually are.
Yeah.
Which is sort of terrifying, I understand, and also sort of freeing, because there's this idea of, like, let's just say it.
Right.
People are not, for the most part, doing the traditional, quote-unquote, things, and yet we need to be with them, and we yeah. need to acknowledge where they are. So I can see why it upsets some people who want to hold on to this vision, and I can see why it's calling all these people who are on the outs of the church to feel like they can come
to
back.
To feel like they're included.
In some way.
And he speaks pretty clearly at some points to the people who feel like the open door mm-hmm. is a threat, mm-hmm. right? And he's come under some scrutiny, particularly yeah. within, like, the church circles of, like, this man is not a true pope, this man is a heretic, this man yep. is this man
There's
is that.
There's a rumble. Foot.
And he, one of my very favorite lines okay, from the whole thing,
yep.
he drops it and he says, he's kind of talking about that some Christians, not even just Catholics, but some Christians follow this path of justification by their own efforts mm-hmm. to be like, you know, like, I can do this. And if you just follow this very specific path, then we yeah. will be, you know, we will be saved. We will be whatever. And he says, the result is a self-centered and elitist complacency bereft of true love. This finds expression in a variety of apparent unconnected ways of thinking and acting, an obsession with the law, an absorption with social and political advantages, a punctilious concern for the church's liturgy, doctrine, and prestige, a vanity about the ability to manage practical matters, and an excessive concern with the programs of self-help and personal fulfillment.
Papal mic drop.
Middle finger. To every one of you who has said that I am too, like, open, there is no too open.
Yeah, and also punctilious.
Punctilious.
Just so you know.
I mean, I don't know what the Latin translation of punctilious is.
I don't
is.
Know either.
I feel like it would just be punctilious, right? It ends in us, therefore it's Latin.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, you're beyond me now. Maybe. I don't know. But, like, yes, he's just calling them straight out yeah. and, like, woe to you, like, yeah. Twitter haters
right.
and rad trads, like, yeah. get with Jesus.
Jesus loves you too, but go fuck yourself.
Yeah, yeah. But also you need to quit acting like your head's up your butt.
Mm-hmm.
So there definitely in this, that's probably the most scathing of the paragraphs.
Yes.
He's a little gentler throughout, but he is also, on the other hand, kind of fighting this battle with these
yeah.
people. On other fronts, you know, he's done a lot of rearranging and moving folks around.
Yep.
There was this dubia called out on
the
him.
Dubia.
And he's been just like, I'm not even dignifying this. Yeah. And it makes them so mad.
I'm going to take the high road.
Yep. Yeah. But like these things are like, he's like, you can read what I'm saying. Because their thing is they keep saying we want clarification.
Yes.
And he's like, let me clarify it for you. If you're acting like Sadducees and Pharisees right. during the blessed Easter season.
Yes.
You're wrong.
Yeah.
And that's it.
And I love that he roots it in two things. He roots this whole exhortation first and foremost in the Beatitudes. Even just the whole idea of like rejoice and be glad
totally.
Is pulled from the Sermon on the Mount. Like yours is the kingdom of God. So everybody and what the Beatitudes did was just flip the entire social structure on its head. And we still haven't managed to do that. We haven't fulfilled the Beatitudes. So you have this, you know, this teaching of Jesus, this pivotal Christian teaching that the people who are crapped on by society are the ones who are actually the most blessed. And those people, like when you are one of those people, rejoice and be glad because God is smiling on you because you still have a place in heaven. And so he roots this exhortation in that. And also in a sense of true joy. He talks about like humor. He talks about smiling and laughing and having fun with your faith, which never would have been mentioned in anything written by the prior pope or most popes before, you know, Benedict. Like,
yeah, and I don't mean to run Benedict down too much because I think actually the best version of Benedict is often in his writings.
Yeah, he was a,
like he was not my favorite pope. I was not really thrilled by that choice.
Theologically, he was a really interesting pope.
I did not like CDF version of Ratzinger, but if I had to pick my least objectionable Benedict, it would be the theologian in his writing. So not to make you think we totally hate him, but we're real glad about this refreshing.
Yes.
This aggiornamento we are seeing in
Benedict's head was kind of in the clouds, and Francis is very much a reaction to that.
Yes.
Like Francis is saying, we can't, in today's society, we can't afford to have our heads in the clouds. We have to be grounded in the real world.
And that brings us to the other place where he really pushes back against this idea of just following the rules is going to make you a better Christian, because he calls us to look at the poor. And that has been a focus of his papacy from the beginning. He actually speaks about when he was elected pope that like somebody whispered to him, remember the poor. So there's kind of this implication that part of the reason he was voted in is that he has this passion for the poor and for advocating for them. And he has really never flagged on that one.
Yeah.
He's been very direct about that as well. So he tells us, you know, to those Beatitudes, you have to love your neighbors, and especially the vulnerable ones.
You do. Yeah. And it's true. I mean, that's if you're going to participate in the mission and teachings of Jesus, you can't do it without having a genuine concern for the people around you, including your enemies, including the people who maybe are going to make your life difficult.
Yeah.
You got to find a way to love them, even if you don't always see eye to eye.
Right. And that's on the personal level. But I've found a disturbing complaints from some of the traditionalists who are feeling really threatened is that they complain about this focus on the poor.
Yeah.
Because to them, that is at a lower level than observance of the modern law as they see it. And not that those things aren't an avenue to holiness and aren't important, but they actually criticize this focus on care for the poor, which is just mind blowing to me. And it shows this conflation between the political and the religious, because, you know, you're some leftist commie if you love the poor, but it's like, I don't know, maybe not even the right way to say it, but like,
no, totally. I mean,
Jesus loves the poor, and you can't
in the exhortation,
yes.
Francis says, like having a genuine concern for the poor does not make you, and he lists a whole bunch of things, and among them is a communist. It doesn't make you a communist to love the poor,
it makes you a Christian. I mean, what can we say? So I liked that he has stuck to that and does have strong words for those who would say that that's not a priority, because come on, Christians, it's a priority.
Now, there is a part of the exhortation that made, you know, I think both of us probably do a little bit of a double take, because in the midst of talking about joy and talking about humor and talking about everyday spirituality and talking about the need to take care of the poor, Pope Francis calls out people for being essentially heretics.
Right. Suddenly.
Which is a word that all of a sudden it's like, wait, what? That's not allowed? Because we talk about how that's okay all the time.
Well, you know, thankfully Pope Francis doesn't know about our particular heresies. Trust me, he has not listened to this podcast ever.
Oh, come on. Pope Francis, if you're out there, we love you, buddy.
Shout out.
So he says that there's modern day versions. Like, heresy is not a word that is really used very much.
Okay, so what's
anymore.
A heresy?
So a heresy is a teaching that will directly go against the teachings of the church, but it is kind of cloaked under this new brand or alternate brand of Christianity. So I'm a Christian, right. But I'm teaching something that is fundamentally not Christian.
Good. That's a good definition.
Right?
Yep.
So he says there's two heresies that are going on in today's world that were already defeated centuries ago.
We have, as a church, said those are heresies. We don't believe that. And they just keep coming back with new faces.
New faces, exactly. New so they're harder to kill than maybe people that were at these Vatican councils that said, we officially have stomped out the heresy. Maybe they weren't quite there yet.
Well, I mean, people, there's a reason that they come up in the first place because, you know, our brains maybe take us there.
Right.
But we should know better. So the first one that he calls out is Gnosticism.
Yes.
With a G, G-N. Gnosticism.
Yeah. It's practiced by all the gnomes around the world.
Oh my gosh. The gnomes with their little hats.
Stupid know-it-all gnomes think they have it all figured out.
Okay, so Gnosticism means knowledge, and it usually implies like a secret knowledge. And so this idea, which has been around as long as the church has, that if you just know the secret knowledge, i.e. like Jesus is the Son of God and like died for your sins and resurrected or other things, sometimes it branches out in weird ways.
Yeah.
That's it. Then it requires nothing else from you. You just have to know the secret knowledge.
So the idea was Jesus was the Son of God. You know, they believe all of, as far as I know, all the things about the Messiah, Son of God, the fully divine, fully human, none of that is really called into question. But Jesus came into the world with some sort of secret that he was sharing with all the disciples. And that secret is the avenue to heaven. And if you can figure it out, then just based on pure brain power and the knowledge of your spirituality, you can get to heaven. And there was even like Gnostic gospels that
tried to hint
at what that secret was. And sometimes it was like, and then Jesus told everybody the secret, which was, and then it was like, oh, this page was ripped out. We didn't find it. You know, it's like...
Yeah, so Gnosticism, secret knowledge, and he kind of shows it today in being like the people who are like, well, like Jesus saved me, the end, and requires no actual conversion from you, no change of heart, no challenge to your life.
Right.
That would be some red flags of Gnosticism.
So there's not a lot of concern for others. There's not a lot of action required. There is simply thought. You can think your way to heaven as long as you have the secret to that pathway. So it's kind of like the mountaintop. You know, you climb up to the mountaintop, you sit at the foot of the master, you meditate for 1,000 years, and all of a sudden you are in heaven, right? Without having done much else. And it also eliminates some of that divine intervention, that divine providence, that grace of God from the equation.
Yeah, Francis actually talks a lot about mystery in this exhortation too, and being open to God's grace and God's work and acknowledging our own limits and to be humble in that, like, you know, you really don't accomplish much on your own. So Gnosticism kind of robs you of that.
And that part was actually really comforting to me when I was looking at that, because I've always thought that, you know, like my understanding of God, my spiritual pathway is always going to be incomplete. It's always going to be fuzzy. As soon as I feel like I have it figured out, I have already failed more than I ever thought that I could. And so to have that kind of, you know, that to have words put to that, you know, like you can't eliminate the mystery from spirituality. Yeah. You'll never have it all figured out. Like that should be a really comforting thought.
I think it totally is, because it, like, you wouldn't want to worship a God that you could, like, totally figure out. Like, we need a God who is bigger than us.
That's
and
no
more
longer
complicated
God.
Than us.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so, but the idea that Pope Francis feels it necessary to say that, and he knows that people are going to bristle at that. Like, no, of course you can have it all figured out.
What do you mean?
It's a reflection on modern-day church, modern-day society.
So this indulgence that I just checked off the box means nothing?
Doesn't work.
All right.
No.
Great.
So Gnosticism was the first one.
Okay. And the second one is... Pelagianism.
Which, not gonna lie, I totally had to look up. I was like, what the fuck is Pelagianism? If you had thrown Arianism at me, I'd be okay. Gnosticism, got it down. Pelagianism, I'm like, open water fishes-ism? Because pelagic things swim in open water.
You are such a nerd.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so that is not what the heresy is about. It's not about open water.
The heresy of fishes. Manta rays.
Well, if we talk about, like, the fish sign, the ichthys, maybe that's where it comes in.
Wow.
Maybe they denied.
Dropping the ichthys on us.
They just drew, like, water instead of the other end of the fish or something. All right, anyway. So, Pelagianism is kind of the flip of Gnosticism.
Yes.
Because it means that you think, like, just doing certain works.
Yeah.
This is really where that denial of mystery comes in. So
you can work your way into heaven.
Or follow the rules your way into heaven.
Right.
Which I think is the sharper edge of that sword for us today.
The real gnat. Because, like, on the surface, so, okay, you can work your way into heaven. Well, that is some of what we believe. That, like, you know, the whole faith without acts is dead kind of thing.
You
and, like,
should match your actions to your words.
You have to take care of the poor. Whatsoever you've done to the least of these, that you've done unto me. You know, like, there is definitely an action component built into our faith.
Right.
But when you think that there are only certain actions that are permitted, and those ones are the stepping stones to heaven, and if you step off of those stones, you fall into the pits of hell. Well, that's a problem.
Or that if you think those actions are the actual salvific part, then you are robbing yourself of the freely given gift of Christ.
Who put the stones there? Hmm? Yeah, God did.
Whoa.
God put the stones there for you to step on. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And there were only one set of footprints in the sand.
How did I know we were gonna... And it was in those times that Jesus said, stop it right now. Heretics.
Sorry.
Sorry, Jesus.
Pelagianism is this idea that somehow you can follow the rules and that will be your pathway to heaven. Yeah. And it becomes kind of a different form of intellectualism. Like, you have to know the rules and then you have to follow the rules. And it's not about God's grace. It's about how closely you are following this set pattern of actions that are the pathway to heaven.
Yeah, and both of these heresies really do take away that mystery and do take away grace, you know, of God's love for us.
Yeah.
And so I think that's kind of the way I like to come back to it, where he's like, and the answer to not being a heretic in these ways is being humble, is taking care of the poor, is seeking holiness in your own life and having a sense of humor because you are a fool like every other person here.
Totally. And that humility, I think, is huge for Francis, that, like, the real danger of things like Gnosticism and Pelagianism is looking down your nose at others who don't have the knowledge or who aren't following the right path.
Right. It leads you so much quicker to sin.
Yes.
So Francis encourages us to go back to basics in terms of our own spirituality, to slow down, to take care of each other and the poor. And I guess that means we can't really hate on the other side either.
Yeah.
Okay. Well.
So I think I honestly, it's kind of funny because we do say we toe the line or sometimes cross the line into heresy on Church Drunk, which means that a lot of times we do. We question, we challenge some of the traditional teachings
of
the church.
We're not afraid to grapple a bit.
Sometimes.
I mean, Guest doesn't believe in angels.
I don't.
Maybe not the resurrection.
Right? Hey, the resurrection is, I just have different beliefs. I believe in it.
I don't think the devil is an actual character, which Pope Francis says he is. I don't know. We'll see.
Right? So, like, there are certain things, and on some level, we're all cafeteria Catholics. Maybe not we're all, but you and I certainly are.
I think everybody is.
I think so, too.
Because everybody who criticized cafeteria Catholics is at this point, like, sidling up to the buffet and be like, what we got here?
Totally. And I think it's important to keep in mind that, you know, the door should be open to all.
Yes.
And so while we certainly cast aspersions on certain brands of spirituality, like...
Yeah.
On the bottom most fundamental level is if it works for you, you got to kind of keep doing it because there's a lot of different pathways to get to God. So humility play into it. I know, right?
Wow.
It's hard to admit.
Heresies.
I know. I'm choking on my tongue right now as I say it.
No, but it's true. And that is where we have to allow grace to work.
Yeah.
And to acknowledge that other people are on their own journey with God.
Yeah.
Or not with God.
But also we are sometimes like dirty, rotten heretics.
Oh,
like,
we are. We are on a...
Say things and do things that are probably not really... in line. And by having a podcast, I think that's what crosses us into heresy is because we're actually spreading the badness.
Dude, it's true. And you know, we, in all sincerity, we do not mean to create a scandal for anybody, but we're just trying to climb over our own.
Sometimes we do. Sometimes we mean to create a scandal. Like, if we were big enough to create a scandal.
I mean, in the traditional sense, we're like, I don't want to be a stumbling block in somebody else's faith.
Yeah. No, but I would take Scandal.
We're just trying
as,
to like climb over our own
a promotion
bit.
In life at this
okay.
point. Yeah.
Wow. Guess has aspirations, everybody. All
but
right.
I was trying to think.
At least we're not Gnostics and we're not Pelagians.
We're not. There's
we
no,
can say that for
there's
sure.
There's no name for our brand of heresy. And that's
oh,
so far
is.
A good thing.
You'll hear it at the end. Okay.
Oh, man.
Sorry. So we're not that kind of heretic. We're
yeah.
just some other brand. And it's up to you to sort it out.
Yeah.
Listeners.
It is.
And you can tell us if you are a heretic like us or in your own special way by emailing us at churchdrunk@gmail.com.
Yep.
You can tweet a guess.
Hit us up on Twitter at ChurchDrunkPod.
Mm-hmm. Or just read the blog and leave us a comment.
Read the blog. Take a look. Read the actual exhortation.
Yes.
Or read an article about the exhortation.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of summaries out there. There's lots of opinions
yeah.
on it.
It is
lots
not
of
a hard read, though.
Just, actually, the first thing I did before I even like opened it up and read it was Father James Martin's. Like,
oh, did
here
you?
Here are the 5 points that you should know about this exhortation.
See, and I tried not to do that because I wanted to pick out my own paragraphs.
Aren't you
but
fancy?
Then I went and read all the other things,
yeah.
too. So,
and I haven't even read it
though.
Word for word yet. I haven't been able to dig into it and like really, really read it.
It's
I've
a bit
a
long,
through.
But it's not a hard read.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Take a look at it. It's good stuff.
Grab a paragraph or two.
Pope Francis is working hard, so
yeah.
the least we could do is take a glance through it.
Yeah. Totally.
So,
right.
Hit us up. Let us know what you think. We will be back next week with what I think, if I'm not mistaken, might be our last official episode
yeah,
of season.
We're not going to go all the way through the
three?
Easter season, but remember, it's still Easter. Celebrate.
Yeah. So,
Gaudete
et exultate. Enjoy it. So, we will see you next week. We won't see you, but you'll hear us next week on Church Drunk, where there's Gaudete et Exultate.
And we exhort you.
Our exhortation is Cultus et Stultus.
Look it up.
Google Translate that, my friends.
Actual words.
Peace.
Bye.